with gold. He doesn't need it. He gives us the privilege to support His work and His ministry. It's a privilege to us. Amen. Sister Johnson and I have been tithers for well over 50 years. Everything the Bible says about it, I attest to the truth. It works. I've had people say, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. I said, I can't afford not to because I can't make it without God's blessings. Amen. And then the question comes up, should I tithe on the gross or the net? You just tithe on what you want God to bless, and you keep what you want Him to curse. It's very easy to figure it out. Praise God. So, Usher brethren, I salute you. You're doing this tremendous work, and you are authorized and delegated to receive the tithe and offering, which is a very special ministry, a tremendous ministry. Receiving the tithe and offering is a great honor and a great ministry. Amen. And Brother Mac, for letting me play his accordion, he's better than I am. But I can't do anything about that. Especially when he starts playing those Russian songs. Sister Johnson is much better today. Thank you for praying. She is doing much better. In June, we will celebrate our 56th wedding anniversary. The night we got married, her dad was bringing her down the altar and he's sobbing. Just sobbing his heart out. And I thought, well, you know, he really loves his daughter and he's going to miss her. And I found out later he wasn't crying for her, he's crying for me. I thought of all the people of this great church who've already gone into glory. And I kind of visualized them as having the first assembly worship service of heaven. They're about 50 yards from the throne. They're gathered, all of them gathered together having a worship service. And I tell you, if you folks, if you keep going to heaven, there's going to be more in that church than there is this one. The reason why I think they're having a special service up there just them, because they wouldn't worship with anybody else. Glory to God. On top of all the other troubles that I've experienced in the last few weeks, I think Sister Johnson must have been in severe pain or something. I don't know. But she writes the bills out. And I was going to the post office one day last week or a week ago, and I said, you need to mail anything? She said, well, I got these bills. She handed me a whole fistful of bills. I mailed them. When I got ready to come up here, I went to the ATM to get some cash, and it says your balance is 000. I thought, my, somebody's robbed me. What she gave me was the bills for next month. Now, we pay our bills, and we pay them on time, but we can't pay them a month ahead of time. And she got confused and handed me next month's bills. So we're broke, but we're all paid up. Praise God. I talked to one of the girls today, and they said, I asked them how their mother was doing. They said, well, she's doing good, but every few minutes she says, don't let me get close to Dad. And I said, well, every time I'd wake up last night, I'd say, don't let Sister Johnson have the checkbook. And then on top of all those other things, my assistant resigned, and today is his last Sunday. He's preaching both services. I'm not even there. What if I got back and I'm no longer the pastor? He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he called me with the sad news, our assistants only stay about 2 or 3 years. Our goal is to get them equipped to go out to pastor or evangelize or go to the mission field. And he's been with us 2 years. He felt like he was ready. I didn't think he was, but he felt like he was. And so I just went to the church and got my old accordion, called him in, and I sat down and I sang him a song with a tear in my eye. I asked Sister Prysock if she knew it, but she didn't think she did. So I'll just have to sing it a cappella. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, with four hungry kids and a crop in the field. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. That's all I know of that song. Brother Moore probably knows more of it than that, but that's all I know of it. Amen. Glory to God. God is so good. I was impressed with the pastor's family and their talent. Wow. Wow. Amen. Get the girls on the platform as quick as possible. Get them a tambourine. Get them something. Get them up here. And they become spiritual leaders. God will bless them. And He will bless you. Praise God. Thank you for all of the handshakes and the accommodations. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Amen. Brother Ron, you folks are blessed to have a good sound man. Our sound man is terrible. He is awful. And we tried to get another one, and we tried out one or two, but they never could play the accordion. And to run our sound system, you have to play the accordion while you're running the sound system. I'm the sound man. Sound system's on the platform. Amen. So I appreciate Brother Ron, and I think we might have the track right. Let's try it. That's it. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to the waters. There is a vast supply. Oh, there is a river that never shall run dry. There came a thirsty woman who was drawing from the well. Her life was sad and empty. Her soul was bound for hell. But then she met the Master, who told of her great sin. And if you'll drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Sing it with me now. There is a river that flows from God above. Oh, there is a fountain that frees the soul from heaven. Oh, come to the waters. There is a vast supply. Oh, there is a river that never shall run dry. There is a river that never shall run dry. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Brother Kincaid, I like your church. I do. I like the way you responded and applauded when the ladies sang. That's good. Listen, among our circles for a while, you would get lambasted for that as being worldly. But you know, I'm old enough to remember who originated that, and it's a man that I never saw worship God, not one time. He'd sit on the platform, he'd preach, and was a famous preacher, and I guess he still is, but I never saw him worship God, not one time. I don't think he wanted people to worship God. Well, I do. I believe he's worthy of it, thank God. Amen. And I like to clap my hands when people do things to glorify God. I just like to do it. I'd like to do it right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. First John 1:7. I'll give you folks time that are using the iPhone and all that. I'll give you a little time to get booted up here. Praise God. As long as we're reading from the same version, now some of them may be on iPads, some may be on iPhones. As long as we're reading the same version, and I'm reading from the one that's hard to understand. But my grandpappy understood it, memorized a lot of it, and it worked for him. Praise God. It's working for me, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now I want you to repeat that last part with me, starting with that "and." Are you ready? And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Lord, bless these people. Minister to them, Lord. Keep them by the grace of God as we look to you, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know one of the main reasons why God blessed His first assembly. He does bless first assembly. Brother Kincaid, I always preach to my smallest crowd on Sunday morning because there's so many people working with the kids. My dream was to fill the auditorium with kids and all the adults be children's workers, and we'd have one gigantic kids' crusade every Sunday morning. I never realized that except maybe once, twice a year. But that was always my dream because they're the people that's going to change the world. We're not going to, but they are. Amen? And always remember when you're dealing with kids, they don't resent discipline. They don't even resent correction as long as they know you love them. And honey, they've got a built-in radar and they can look at your face in a split second and tell you if you love them. If you don't, they know it. I don't care how much you say you do. If you don't, they know. I don't know. Kids, they're marvelous beings. Hallelujah. God really did. I tell you, He did all right with that. He messed up with Adam. Didn't do much better with Eve. But I tell you, the kids, He was right on. Thank God. He was right on. Amen. And years later, the kids may not remember what the correction was about, but they will remember the spirit it was given in. And if we have the wrong spirit, that's worse than anything they could do. Amen? Not everybody can work with kids. Some can, some can't. Amen? And you folks are good at it. But I believe the reason why God blesses First Assembly like He does is because you have a respect for the ministry. You show me a church where they don't respect the ministry, and I'll show you a church where the blessings of God is absent, or either it's only spasmodic. When the prophet came to the widow woman and her son, and the famine was sore, and she was practically starving to death. And she said, I'm going to make a little cake, and we're going to eat that, and then we're going to die. We're going to starve to death. It was that bad. And he said, well, make me a cake first. When I read that the first time, I said, that dirty, low-down skunk that would take food out of that little old kid's mouth and that poor woman that hadn't had a decent meal and she's going to starve to death, how in the world could he do such a thing? And then I began to study it and realize what it's all about. Listen, Elijah didn't say that of his own. That came from God. God moved on that prophet to do that because God had a plan for that little widow. Hallelujah. Because he deserved. Listen, the Bible said there's many widows. They're all over the place. How come the preacher came there? He came there because God saw that she respected the ministry. And she went back and made a cake for the prophet. And the rest is history. As long as that famine lasted, every time she went in the kitchen and reached down in that meal barrel, there was enough for another meal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There was enough. Why? Because God had got involved. God will get in your church when you obey Him and respect His Word and His people, and when you respect the ministry. Amen. You don't respect the ministry, you aren't going to get very much from God. I can tell you that. And this church respects the ministry, Brother Kincaid. Sister Johnson, I have fond memories of your concern for us and for our family, your thoughtfulness. We speak of it often. And I believe that's one of the great reasons why God blesses your church. Because you respect the ministry. Amen. When you do that, you give God an opportunity to do all kinds of things. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. Now, if you're relying on anything but the blood of Jesus Christ to save you and keep you, you are being deceived. You're being deceived. Some people are members of conservative churches and they think their standards will save them. Your convictions will not save you. We need convictions. God knows we could use some more of them. But they don't save us. We have convictions because we are saved, not because they save us. I have a pastor's friend who had a son, and listen, if you think your pastor preaches straight, Lord. These people could write the book on being separated from the world. But you know what? This young man suffered a tragic moral failure. He brought disgrace to himself, to the church his daddy pastored, to the kingdom of God. I mean it all. You wouldn't have found anybody that had any better convictions than that young man did, but your convictions will not save you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ will save you. Amen. God give us convictions. God gave us convictions when He saved us. I don't know what we got that a lot of people didn't get, but we still have it. Praise God. I don't say a lot about it from the pulpit. Some of them are convictions that God gave us. He didn't ask us to press them on anybody else, and we don't. But there's some of them in here that's so clear, even a blind man could see it. Praise God. But our convictions will not save us. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can save and keep us. Don't tell me I'm saved by the blood and. I am saved by the blood, period. Amen? I'm not saved by water baptism. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you haven't been baptized in water, it would be good to talk to the pastor and see what could be arranged, and maybe invite your family, maybe they'd come. As a young person, I had a tender heart toward God, and I'd just weep and cry on the altars, but I'd be backslid before Wednesday night because I'd get out there and beat up on my brother. I was bigger than he. I was older than him. And I'd beat up on him, and I didn't know that if you sin, we have an advocate with Jesus Christ, and He's faithful and just to forgive us if we just confess our sins. We don't have to start over every time, thank God. But I didn't know that, and I thought since I'd sinned, and obviously I was going to hell anyway, I might as well really get in there. So in everything that a 5-year-old could get into, I'd get into it. Amen. And I got saved, and I got unsaved. Now, there's people have told me later, you can't get unsaved. Listen, honey, it's too late. I already did. Amen? I did. Maybe you shouldn't. I don't think you ought to. Well, I haven't. Thank God for you. I pat you on the back. Glory to God. But I tell you, I lost it more than once. But one thing I noticed, I never was baptized in water. I never paid tithe, and I never developed a real prayer life. And when I was 17 years old, I went to the altar and I said, God, I'll die before I'll fail. First thing I did was make an appointment to get baptized in water. It's a pioneer church. There wasn't any water in miles of us. We went across the city of Dallas and found a pastor's church that they'd let us use it. And the highways come through and it's bulldozed it now, but I know exactly where it's set. I knew where the baptistry was. And when I travel on that Interstate 45 toward Houston, I can look over the rail at a certain place and I see the place where I was baptized in water. I don't understand water baptism. I just know that when I come up out of the water, when I came up, I had a determination and a faith that I didn't have when I went down in there. Hallelujah. I started honoring God with my tithe. It wasn't a whole lot, but it was as much finances of millionaires, amen, because it was a tithe of the increase God was giving me. I developed a prayer life, and I started praying every day and praying on a regular basis, amen. And that's been over 55 years ago, and it's still good. Water baptism didn't save me. I was baptized because I was saved, and because the Bible taught it. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Amen. Hallelujah. Carl Brumback was a religious historian of some years ago. I read several of his writings. He wrote a tremendous history of this movement from its beginning and on down through the ages. I understand, I don't know firsthand, but I understand that this great man suffered shipwreck in his later years. I don't know, but I know he was a historian, and he wrote a very accurate book, was a brilliant historian. And in his book, Suddenly from Heaven, amen, he documents a tribute from a revival in 1909. And he tells about a street woman that came into the revival. Not only was she that, and I don't need to go into detail, but she had a tremendous disease on top of that. And as the evangelist gave the altar call, she went to the altar. And some of the ladies were praying for her, and after she had prayed for a little while, she just fell over. Now that was a long time before Benny Hinn ever came on the scene, so don't blame that on him. Amen. She stayed there so long, they began to wonder, is this really the Spirit of God or what is it? Finally, the elders called from some ladies, and they took her into another room where she could lay out on a table, and she laid there, not moving, for 3 days and nights. And after 3 days and nights, suddenly she sat up, threw her hands up, began to speak with other tongues and glorify God, and testified that God had not only cleansed her of her sin and her terrible past, but He had healed her of the awful disease, and she began to attend that church and worship God. Now there was a young bachelor farmer that lived in that area that took a special interest in the church's newest member. And as time went on, he felt the affection had grown to the place until he proposed marriage. She was shocked. She never expected to have a proposal from any, what she would call, a decent person for marriage. Not only did God save her and heal her of that terrible disease, but now this young man had come and asked to marry her. But there was going to be trials for their love for each other. The young man's parents had been Christians for years, and they hit the roof, and they said, no son of ours is going to marry, and I'm not going to go into the words that they call this woman, but about to her background, and he said, I'm going to marry her, and they said, you're not, and they demanded a church trial. And so the church came together, and they got some impartial people who were not members of the congregation to sit on the jury. And all the details of her horrible past begin to come out. Amen. Now that would show me right there that God wasn't in a million miles of that. Because there's a song we sing that pretty well sums it up. He forgives and forgets. He forgives and forgets. Not as mortals forgive one another, but our Jesus forgives and forgets. Hallelujah. If you don't forget, you haven't forgiven. If you've forgiven, you forget. Well, I can't. You can by the grace of God. Amen. The young woman hung her face in shame. She hung her head in shame. And finally, they allowed the young man to testify. And he came up and faced the church. And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, and members of the church of this firstborn, I propose to you that this woman is not on trial, neither am I on trial. The blood of Jesus Christ is on trial." Uh-oh. He said, according to the Word of God, she is as white as the driven snow. And if she's not, there's not a one of you can claim for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, because if the blood of Jesus Christ didn't work for her, it may not work for you. And one of the judges, Dr. Yvonne, got so carried up in it and forgot she was supposed to be impartial, and she stood up and shouted, "Preach it, brother, I'm with you." Before long, the whole church was on their feet, waving handkerchiefs and hands and saying, "Preach it, brother, we're in, we're with him." Before it was over, his parents came around. And the trial was dismissed. And they had a wonderful wedding. And they lived happily ever after. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The blood of Jesus Christ either can cleanse us from all sin, or it doesn't cleanse from any sin. It either cleanses from all sin, or it doesn't cleanse from any sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The modern day Mary Magdalene was taken into their hearts. A new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to repeat something with me here. And here's what I want you to repeat. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's see if we could get that together. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I like that. I like that. Let's say it again. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and praise God with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Listen, the devil will come to you and say, "You're not saved." Everybody knows you're not saved. Everybody down at First Assembly, and especially your family, they know you're nothing but a hypocrite. How do I know? Trust me, I know. Amen. He'll do that because he's a liar. Amen. He'll do that because he is a liar. I don't know how many times a day I repeat that. I don't know what you call that. But it's good. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. When the angel came through Egypt, he wasn't looking for famous people, good people. He wasn't looking for respectable people. He was looking for the blood on the doorpost. And if he found the blood, everybody that was behind the blood was saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Could you answer a question for me? What are you doing in this service tonight? You've got neighbors that are as lost as they can be. And they watch you drive out of your driveway or leave your farm or wherever it is and come to worship God. And they sit there on their road to hell. Why are you saved and they're not? I've asked that question dozens and dozens of times. And I've never really received an answer. In 1956, when God saved us on Wednesday night, I'm partial to Wednesday night service. We still have a Wednesday night service. I applaud you, Pastor. You still have altars up here. Thank God. The Bible said we're kings and priests unto God. Nobody can be a priest without an altar. Show me anywhere in the Bible where a priest could ever preside or operate if there was no altar. That's the reason why the Jewish priests are frustrated right now. They don't have an altar. Amen. They got to have a temple to put their altar in. And they're going to build one. Glory to God. And there's going to be one. And a great revival in Israel. I don't know how and I don't know when, but it's coming. So we asked the Arab Christian guide. This was a preacher from California. And he said, we heard that they're cutting granite blocks in the state of Kentucky to build the temple in Jerusalem for the Messiah to come back. And the priest will once again minister at the altar. They have no altar now. They have no temple. And this Jewish Christian, this Arab Christian guy began to laugh. And he said, if there's anything we don't need in Israel, it's rocks. Look around us. Look around you, gentlemen. They were everywhere. They were all over the place. Amen. And he said, we don't need to bring rocks in from anywhere. We've got more than enough here. Somehow or another, God sowed this place with rocks. But he began to quote Scripture. The man knew more Scripture by memory than I ever heard and thought of in my life. And he showed unmistakably from that, that the temple will be built again. The altars will be sanctified again. The priest will come once again and worship God. Hallelujah! And he said the Jews are looking for the Messiah. The Christians are looking for the Messiah. The difference is the Christians know He's already come once and He's coming the second time. The Jews are still waiting for the first time. Hallelujah. The song says the little woman that was in the sin met the Master. Glory to God. And when she met the Master, her life was changed. Praise God. Amen. I want you to think about this statement until you can't get it out of your head tomorrow. When you go to work, when you go to school, when you go to shop, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not because you think I am or you don't. I hope you do think I'm saved, but if you don't, I'm still saved, not by your opinion, but by His blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would have such a glorious experience in the church as a new Christian, and before I got home, the devil would be on my back and he'd torment me and say, you're not a Christian, you're nothing but a hypocrite, and he'd begin out to point out the imperfections in my life. Amen. And I already knew about most of them because after you get married, the devil don't have to point out your faults. They just seem to come around. Amen. So I knew that I had many of those, and I think, well, there's no need of me going down there. I don't want to be a hypocrite. But one thing I never stopped doing was reading the Word and praying. Hallelujah. And when I would pray, God would begin to deal with my heart. Hallelujah. You're saved by the blood. You're saved by the blood. You're saved by the blood. And I would make it back, and I finally got strong enough with enough of God's Spirit in my heart that I realized the devil was a liar, and I kicked him in the teeth, and I said, go peddle your wares somewhere else. Amen. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The musicians, I don't know what you're policy is on Sunday night, but let's don't change anything. Praise God. I want you to close your eyes with me a minute in reverence to the power of the living God. Hallelujah. He's here.
Sister Prasok, that chorus, He is here, hallelujah, He is here, praise God. Could we do that? Praise God. Where's Sister Mullet? Sister Mullet, where are you? Amen. Could you help me on this organ? Sister Mullet's such an amazing person. I know you know that. The presence of God is here in a mighty power. There was people this morning that stood for various reasons. I didn't get to everybody. But I saw you standing. And I want you to come now. Right up here against the platform across here and stand. I want to pray. Glory to God. You stood this morning and you didn't get a special time of prayer. I want you to come and stand here right now. Whatever it is, doesn't matter if you've ever told anybody that you even had a need. But there were several people. We were pressing a deadline, always on Sunday morning. And there were some people I never got to. Amen. But I saw you stand and I knew I want you to come. I want everybody that's a teen under 20 years old, I want you to come. Stand here among these people. Amen. Well, we just had those people at the altar before. Listen, if there's anybody in this crowd that the devil wants, he wants those teenagers. And he's got a plan to take them to hell. And if we don't have a plan to keep them from it, he'll succeed. And by the grace of God, he shall not succeed. Amen. Glory to God. So when there's an altar call, you don't have to be asked. You're welcome every time. Just come on up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. God will bless you by His grace and His mercy. And then when the devil comes to you, and he'll use people sometimes that pretend to be your friends to make fun of what God is doing in your life, you can be assured, I am saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want people out here who will join me in prayer. I need a couple of ladies to pray for each one of these ladies. Just come in here and move in. We'll move around and give you room. I want you to come. Amen. I need some brethren to come and join and pray for these brothers. Glory to God. You know what this church needs? It needs a few good, dedicated teenage boys. Why don't we pray? I don't know if there's any of them even exist, but God can make dedicated boys out of them. Don't think you can. You can't. Amen. My wife was going to make me dedicated, but she gave up and finally turned me over to God. And when God got through with me, Lord, we need a few good young men in this church. I believe you're concerned. I believe you're dealing with young men right now who have a hunger in their heart, and they have potential, they have talent, they have possibilities in their life, God. Amen. Now I want to get back to the question. Why did God save you? Not your neighbor. Some of us have members of our own family that are not even saved. Why did He pick us out? When I got saved in Dallas, Texas in 1956, it was such a powerful move of God. I thought everybody must be under conviction. And I went out and knocked doors for 4 years. From 2 to 3 nights a week until about 11 o'clock. I'd come home from work, eat supper, and I'd hit the street. And I knocked doors. because I just knew there's got to be scads of people out there God dealt with. You know what? I knocked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of doors, but I never found a single person who was aware that God had ever dealt with them in any way. And you know what I concluded? God singled us out of hundreds of people. Why did He? Why am I saved? Why are you saved? If you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, you are a privileged person. There's millions upon millions that are on the way to hell tonight. God has never dealt with them one time. Nobody's ever called their name in prayer. There's times when in frustration I get the phone book down in our city and I start praying people's names because I said, God, it's not fair that these people should die and go to hell and nobody ever called their name even once. And yet here we are enjoying the blessings of God. Hadn't God been good to us? In my case, I don't know why. What did God see in my life? Why did He single us out? Our neighbors, amen, they never came to God. We tried to get them to, but they didn't. You are special. You are special. God saved you. He passed over hundreds of people to get to you and bring you to Christ. And now let's just pray and thank Him for it. Hallelujah. These folks that have come down here for special prayer, I want you to pray for them too. God, I look to You in the name of Jesus. Lord, I seek Your face and I call upon You by the grace of God. I don't know if this is a last name or a first name, Matthias. All right. You've got to be in that family. Is that his first name? God has His hand on you. And the devil's fighting you. But the devil's a liar, God. I look to You in the name of Jesus. And I believe You, God, to touch my young friend. Minister to him by the power of God. Strengthen him, Lord. And anoint him, God. And meet this special need that he has stepped forward tonight asking You to intervene in his life. I ask You to do it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Oh God, in Jesus' name, I ask You to undertake. Lord, I ask You to undertake. God, by Your Spirit. Lord, I need Your presence, God. Lord, You said You'd give us the desires of our heart. I believe You tonight, God. Lord, I seek Your face, God. Lord, I believe You're here to do marvelous and wonderful things in this service right now. I believe You're right here, right now, Lord, to fill our lives with Your presence, God. I ask You, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, undertake. Touch my sister, God. Give her deliverance by the power of God. Jesus, I praise You. Jesus, I praise You. God, I call upon You and I thank You for the grace of God tonight. I love You, Jesus. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out Your name. He is here. And You can touch Him. You will never be the same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely.
hear Him calling out your name. He is here, and you can touch Him. You will never be the same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here.
Oh, Jesus, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I need You to touch my life, God. Lord, there are needs that You're cognizant of, and I ask You right now to undertake in the name of Jesus. Bless Your name, God. Thank You, Lord. 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 Glory to God. There is no chronological age with God. He will bless you. He will glorify Himself in your name. If you would just open your hearts to Him right now and say, Jesus, I love You, God. I love You, God. I love You, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, I love You. I love You. I praise You, God. Jesus, I thank You, Father. I believe You, Lord, for Your grace right now. Jesus, undertake, Lord. Touch my sister. God, minister to her, Lord, with Your deliverance, I pray. Bless her life. God, I thank You for the power of God and the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Jesus, I look to You, God, and I believe You for Your blessings and Your mercy. God, undertake by Your power and Your Spirit, God. I love You, Jesus. God has His hand upon you. The devil will fight you, but he's a liar. You tell him, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. And because you're saved, you're special. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, I believe You. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.